Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Friday, October 10th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we are once again coming to our audience from the Progressive Field press box, looking out over the field following the Guardians' 2-1 victory in Game 1 of the American League Wild Card Series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Pretty much just how they planned it, right? Almost eight innings of near-perfect pitching from Shane Bieber, and Jose Ramirez comes through with a two-run home run. And that's really about it. Makes for a short game story, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It reminded me, Joe, I used to cover the Browns a long time ago, and Sam Ratigliano was the coach, and he said had this favorite saying. He said, great players make great plays in big games. And you look at the two guys that swung this game in Cleveland's favor, Shane Bieber and most of all Jose Ramirez. I mean, as if Bieber gives up, you know, the solo home run in the sixth, and really in the way McClanahan and Bieber were pitching, you thought that was the game right there. But in the bottom of the sixth, Ramirez comes up after a single by Rosario and does what the only thing he could do is hit a two-run homer, and that's the game.
And really, we get sort of tired of asking Terry Francona, the other players on the team, if they're ever surprised by something that Jose Ramirez does. Are we ever surprised by something Jose Ramirez does? He just keeps on coming through in big situations. You know, I was having a conversation with Tom Withers, our Associated Press writer, just a few minutes ago. Could he end up being the greatest Cleveland baseball player of all time?
Wow. Maybe position player.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Bob Feller has got the pitching
if
thing
you're
sewed
be
up.
Specific about, yeah, the pitching is Bob Feller. But really, just look at what he does and the way he impacts a game, all facets of it, and just how good he is. We can't take for granted. You know, Cleveland had LeBron James playing next door for how many years? And you almost lost sight of the fact that he was just so excellent every game. Jose Ramirez, maybe because he plays 162 games a year, you know, maybe you take for granted the fact of just how good he is. When he goes out and has a game like that in the playoff opener to lead this team of young, inexperienced players out there and turn around a one-run deficit with one swing of the bat, you've got to give him credit for being just one of the most clutch guys you've ever seen.
Yeah, just a guy, like you said, Joe, he plays every day, and he kind of tuned up for this. It seemed like he got four for five in his last regular season game. Wednesday, and against Kansas City. And here he goes, you know, he gets two hits today, and the big one is a two-run homer, gives him 30, you know, for this whole season, 29 for the regular season, one for the postseason. But, you know, I just wonder, he's 30 years old, Joe, signed a seven-year deal. You know, there's going to be a little fall off, obviously, but can he still, what is he going to be like when he's 34, 35, 36? The guy hasn't really had a serious injury.
Right.
You know, he plays 150 to 160 games a year. If he keeps that way, you know, if he keeps playing that way, and he's such a natural hitter, a good hitter, a switch hitter, you know, that he might be one of the best position players to ever wear a Cleveland uniform.
I think he's at like 40.3 WAR right now, according to Baseball Reference, and that's not a perfect stat for telling you who the greatest Cleveland baseball player of all time is, but you know, he's up there. He's 15th on the franchise all-time list now. If he plays out this contract and plays at anything close to the level he's been playing at for the last 3 or 4 years, then, you know, he's going to be in that conversation. He's going to be definitely on the Mount Rushmore of Cleveland baseball for sure. This kind of game cements, you know, what Cleveland fans should feel about him. And they gave that love back to him. You know, this for the first time in how long, there were 30,000 fans in the stands. It wasn't a sellout, but you know, the place was rocking when he hit that home run. And we'll get into the challenge part of the whole situation here in a minute. But you know, once it was announced that it was indeed a 2-run home run, he comes out of the dugout and gives him a curtain call, and that was just a great moment. And he said in the post game, he said it was exciting. It felt good. He likes to feel like that.
Yeah, you know, it was a cool moment. And you know, Joe, I'm walking down to the interview room after the game, going down the steps, and the fans are singing like Jose, Jose, Jose. You know, it's just like,
hey, you were giving wait. What you just did was the Buster Poindexter version of Jose, Jose. They were giving the English soccer chant. I don't think you did that on purpose, but it came out like the hot Buster Poindexter version of Jose, Jose. You know, you're right. You cannot heap enough love and adulation on Jose Ramirez for what he does for this team and what he means, I guess, to this city. And again, he's the guy that stuck around. He's the guy who earned that moment by signing on the dotted line and saying, hey, I want to be here for the rest of my career. So it did work out exactly how they planned it.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, Joe, in the fact that we don't know too much about him. You know, what do we know about this guy? What does he do away from the field? And we're starting to, for the first time, we're starting to see him kind of emerge. You know, he's not that guy that just sits in the corner and lets Francisco Lindor or, you know, Edwin Encarnacion or another guy talk. I mean, he's kind of the lead voice to this club right now. And, you know, he's becoming more and more vocal.
Terry Francona said it best earlier this week. He said, I wouldn't be able to do what I do and preach the message that I'm preaching to this team and get them to play the way that I'm getting them to play if Jose Ramirez wasn't playing the game right and setting that example. All of Francona's words would be hollow if the best player on the team wasn't following along and buying in. And that's the case right now. And you see the result here. Now, the other side of the coin, you got the Redemption World Tour for Shane Bieber in Game 1. That's about as good an outing as we've seen out of Shane Bieber. And he's had some pretty good ones here down the stretch. He was dominant. 8 strikeouts, 1 walk, 3 hits allowed in 7 2/3 innings. And really, there was no time. Even the solo home run to Jose Siri, there was really no time that he didn't look like he was in complete control out there.
Yeah, definitely. He had a no hitter going through the fourth. Harold Ramirez ruined that in the fifth, but he was dominant today, Joe. And he has been on. He's been on a run. I think he's 10-2 in his last 13 or 14 starts with an ERA like 1.98, 1.96, under 2. I mean, he's been really consistent when they've needed him the most.
Yeah, he logged the longest, I guess the deepest outing for a Cleveland starting pitcher in the playoff game since Roberto Hernandez went 9 innings in an 11-inning 2-1 victory against the Yankees back in 2007. His 8 strikeouts were the most by a Guardians pitcher in a postseason start since Mike Clevinger struck out 8 in Game 3 of the ALDS here against Houston in 2018. And he's the second pitcher in franchise history to record an outing of 7 2/3 or more innings with 8 or more strikeouts. He joined Bartolo Colon, who did it twice. I mean, this is not just the in terms of the franchise stuff. He's doing it against a Rays lineup that is has the postseason experience. They've been in the playoffs 4 years in a row. Whether or not they're completely whole right now in terms of healthy or you know what kind of Rosarena was in a terrible slump and still is. I mean, he dominated these guys in a moment where, you know, they knew this is it. This is the playoffs. We got to turn it on now. And Shane Bieber kept his foot on their throats.
Yeah, I mean, Yadi Diaz was back in the lineup. Wander Franco is back in that Tampa lineup. Rosarena, like you said, Joe, has been in a slump. But Ramirez has been hot. Choi, you know, kills, has big, big numbers against Bieber. So, you know, that's still, you know, not a great – it's a lineup similar to Cleveland's. You know, they've won 28 games without a home run during the regular season. Cleveland has won 31 games without a home run in the regular season. Those are the top two teams in baseball, you know, in that category. So they're built along similar lines, but they have more power, much more power than Cleveland.
Yeah, how satisfying was it for Shane Bieber to come out here after really his last playoff start in this building back in 2020? He got roughed up real bad against the Yankees, didn't last very long. In a year that he won the Cy Young and, you know, had all that momentum going into that first game and just, you know, got rocked. And this had to be an opportunity, a situation where he looked at it as, you know, he needed to erase those sort of memories from the past.
Yeah, I talked to him about that. You know, he's in the past, he said he would have used that as motivation, you know, and I think in a way he said he still did. You know, he still thought about that. But I think after what he went through last year, Joe, with the shoulder injury, you know, he said, you know, he's kind of a different pitcher, a different person. And he just kind of wanted to go out and pitch well. I mean, he used that as a springboard, I think. But it wasn't the driving force behind that performance today.
Yeah, he certainly did go out there and open up some eyes and impress some people with that outing. 7 2/3. He gets to two outs in the eighth and gives up a pinch hit, a single to Itzhak Paredes. And we kind of knew it was a possibility. We saw it coming. Terry Francona goes to Emmanuel Clase for a four-out save with the tying run on base. He calls Clase in and Clase got Paredes was the pinch hitter. That he faced for the third out in the eighth inning, got him on a ground out, and then went 1-2-3 in the ninth. Clase looked like he can handle going up and down late in a game like that, and that it wasn't too much of a burden for a guy who led the, you know, tied for the league lead in appearances.
Yeah, this guy, he is a dominant closer, Joe. I think he likes the challenge. You know, we heard a couple of we talked to you know, Terry Francona about him a couple of days ago. He said initially, you know, like last year, like when they asked him, well, we need you to pitch 3 days in a row, he was a little reluctant, but he's grown into that role. I think he loves this. Mm-hmm. You know, he pitched. We saw him earn three saves in a row earlier in the season in Colorado. You know, he was fired up about that. And I think this is right up his alley right here, going, you know, being, you know, the kind of the lockdown guy for four or five outs when you got a lead. And this is postseason baseball. This is the way you win championships.
Yeah. You remember there was a time when we did whole podcasts on whether or not James Karinchak or Emmanuel Clase would be the closer. It's funny how things just have a way of working out, and you know, the cream rises, and not to shake a stick at James Karinchak and what he's contributed to this club throughout the season. He's certainly you know, done more than his fair share, but Clase is just special. You can see it when he goes out there, and like you said, he is a gamer. He loves going out there and striking guys out and getting outs. It's It's he said back when he made the All-Star team, he just wanted to go to the All-Star game and strike National League guys out. He didn't care. He just wanted to go strike guys out. He's unique, one of a kind, and right now, you know, those are your top three players right there. Bieber, Ramirez, and Clase. I think anybody looking at this team, if you're starting a draft, yeah, you're picking one of those three guys and probably all three of them off the top.
Yeah, you've got your opener, you've got your starter, you've got your cleanup hitter, and you've got your closer in those three guys, and that's a good way to start a ball club.
Yeah, not bad. There was a little bit of moment of doubt there in the sixth inning after Jose Ramirez hit his home run. Kevin Cash, the manager from Tampa Bay, first the Rays appealed whether or not Ahmed Rosario had touched second base while rounding. The replay was pretty convincing, pretty conclusive that it showed that he did. But again, Cash, after the appeal was unsuccessful, Cash challenged it. He sent it to New York. And that's a situation where we've seen Terry Francona get burned in the past, where it looks like it's pretty indisputable on the replay, and yet the word comes back from New York that it didn't go his way. So there were some definite moments of trepidation, I guess, for Francona and the rest as they waited for the confirmation from New York that yes, Rosario had indeed touched second base as he was rounding the bag.
Yeah, you know, we've seen a run added to the board against Cleveland this year on the catcher's interference call that got reversed. And now we may have seen a run taken off the board, if they had ruled that Rosario had failed to touch second base. But, you know, it didn't work that way. But what would those umpires, I don't think they could have made that
call.
It
wouldn't have been safe. And we all sort of had the same reaction. How can you make that call, or how could you make that call? But
that's a tough call to make.
But again, Cash said that his replay coordinator said he thought maybe he spotted something. So with two challenges in the postseason as opposed to one, hey, you roll the dice in that situation, knowing that it's a close game. You can't fault him for that. We asked Ahmed Rosario if he thought maybe there was some gamesmanship, maybe it was some. So, you know, I believe Tom Withers posed it. Was it Bush League for them to challenge that? And Ahmed said, no, man, this is a competition. We're out here trying to win. They're out here trying to win. We get that. And you got to respect that. But, man, there was a moment there where everybody was holding their breath in this whole ballpark. And then, shortly thereafter, after it was confirmed, the roar went up. And man, when Jose hit that home run, could you feel the stadium shake? It was, it's still not a sellout here today, but the fans were here, they were out, they were all wearing red, and the ballpark shook a little bit when Jose hit that home run. All right, one more to go. Boy, I could use an off day on Sunday. I could use a day off of no travel, of no coming to the ballpark. Can they just get this wrapped up by about 1:30 on? It was a pretty quick game today. Let's say 3:00. We have everything all put a bow on it and head to New York on Monday.
Yeah, that would be ideal. The game was 2:17 today.
Oh Lord,
it flew by. So
no pitch clock. We don't even need the pitch clock.
But yeah, this is a. Tristan McKenzie finds himself with the with a chance to put the team on his back and get them to New York with the victory tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's if the Guardians' offense is going to do it, they're going to have to do it against a really good pitcher in Tyler Glasnow. We know he'll be limited. He probably won't go that deep. Maybe 5-6 innings if he's healthy and on course. But again. 5-6 innings of Tyler Glasnow is usually maybe a run or two if you can get to him. They showed last week, he can strike guys out, and he's a real effective pitcher. Do you think they can get it done here tomorrow before any weather, before having to play on Sunday again?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I do. I think this series, is really evenly matched, but I think the Guardians, You know, they're in the driver's seat now. Now they've got, what, two games to win one. So we'll see what happens.
All right, that'll wrap it up here from Progressive Field. Again, the final score 2-1. We'll look forward to another podcast here post-game on Saturday to wrap up this stretch at home. Hopefully the Guardians get it done, and we'll have more content for you on Sunday here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.